kind of torn on this guy because I'm very happy what he was able to do last year coming off the injured list late for Toronto. And then a little home run that he gave up there and helped the Dodgers win the World Series. So a little bit indifferent, if you will, when it comes to Shane Bieber. But I know, Jensen, you're keeping your eye on his season debut today north of the border.
Yeah, it'll be today against Houston and a big win already for them in pocket yesterday, being able to take out Houston. It was a nice outing from Dylan Cease against Hunter Brown. So aces up yesterday at the Rogers Center. Not necessarily the case on the Houston side today, although Peter Lambert has been pretty solid for an Astro rotation that has dealt with their fair share of injuries. Now looking at where Toronto sits, they're starting to get healthy, and today, Dave, as we begin play, they occupy that final wild card spot. Should the postseason begin, it does not, but they get the first game of the slate. This is a afternoon affair, 4:07 p.m. Eastern time, and it's something to kind of follow along with, not only as we move forward, and I know it's part of our futures assessment. The American League is so wide open still. A lot of make the playoffs prices. Just majority of teams, Dave, and still even more so as we begin play today. The only teams that are above water as far as, you know, the run differential, the Tampa Bay Rays +7, the New York Yankees +110, and the Seattle Mariners +17. So 12 of the 15 American League teams are under water, if you will, in the run differential. That includes the Cleveland Guardians and the Toronto Blue Jays, who occupy the final wildcard spots as we begin play today. Toronto is -23 in the run differential, but I still feel that with their complement of weapons that they're going to get back in the rotation, they're going to be able to kind of create a little more of that second half run that we saw last year. And I think that's something to kind of sink your teeth into. They still, I think, need some offensive infusion, and life after Bo Bichette has sort of revealed some issues. But remember, This was a team that you had that big ticket on last year. They were not great offensively in the first half. They caught fire in the second half, and a lot of that predicated on a lot of pitching depth that they were able to get infused down the stretch. I can see a similar path laid out here. And more importantly, they're back to .500. I tell you that all the time. When you're looking at handicapping teams and they're a week under .500 or 10 games out, you know, that's all you worry about at the moment. Get back to .500. Then you can start to look at about making up some ground. And I think Toronto in prime position to potentially go on a little bit of a run right here.
You mentioned the aces up yesterday with Dylan Cease against Hunter Brown. I wanted to bring this to your attention because, again, in kind of correlation with Shane Bieber and how many pitches he might be able to throw. Because Hunter Brown yesterday, he went 3 innings, gave up 4 hits. He did have 2 walks, 4 Ks, gave up 1 home run, 85 pitches. Jensen, in what was a very tight game, is that just an easing back scenario in for the 85 pitches? Was that the key? Not necessarily the 3 innings for Hunter Brown. And again, I wonder if you're betting the Jays today, you should probably know that that's probably the type of pitch count we could expect for a guy like Shane Bieber.
I think they're going to just do it as a bit more of in the onboarding, right? And I think that's the unique part of where this organization is. They've got to make sure that they don't sustain any more significant rotation injuries. And if you look at where they are, they've been holding on for dear life. Patrick Corbin has been making meaningful starts for them for a while now, all the way back to April when he was signed after being a free agent there from the Rangers. Back into their bullpen has been really good, and you're trying to alleviate as much stress as possible because you're going to need the Louis Varlands, the Jeff Hoffmans, the Tyler Rogers down the stretch and more so into October, which is where they want to go. It won't shock me if they continue to kind of have the long man. Simeon Woods Richardson is kind of their long man right now. If you remember, former starter there with the Minnesota Twins. So I think they're going to do everything possible, not only to protect a guy like Bieber, but also remember young Trey Savage, who started the year on the IL. You obviously have Dylan Cease, who's been an innings eater and been their best starter all year. Kevin Gausman's been phenomenal. How long can Patrick Corbin keep turning back the clock? He'll be 37. Before the end of the year. So I still think there's plenty of depth. I just think they need a little more offensive infusion to get to where they want to go.
You know, some of the other pitchers, when you go deeper into the Dodger rotation, maybe they're not household names. Eric Lauer was fantastic yesterday for the Dodgers. We got what I thought was a very rare low scoring game there in the Twin Cities against Minnesota. What do you see in the docket today as we keep kind of going down that starting rotation here for LA?
Yeah, and again, when you think about where we are for the Dodgers, first team to 50 wins after they get it home yesterday, Justin Robleski, who has been one of their best starters, not named Shohei Ohtani, Yoshi Yamamoto, it probably has not gotten the national due that he deserves, but we'll be right there again in this price. David, this is why we shop around. $1.65 for the Dodgers on the money line at Circa. It's $1.81 already at DraftKings. So again, get a little bit of a discount there out west. And I would advocate that when you look at where this matchup is on paper, it'll be Kendry Rojas who is getting the start for the Minnesota Twins. Minnesota's still in the fight here. And I still believe that you got to ride the momentum of the better offense and the more consistent offense. So I think a money line play on the Dodgers would be advantageous. And I would be surprised if we find another over here. So I could definitely advocate, even at a plus or even money price, that would be a spot. But I think more importantly, the Dodgers money line, which feels like a discount at $1.65 on the road, that feels like the spot to back here at Target Field tonight.
I would have thought that at this juncture of the season, if we were looking certainly to the AL Central, we'd say, well, the marquee matchup would have to be, say, a Detroit and Kansas City matchup. It really is the Guardians and the White Sox right now that they're battling it out for supremacy here on the south side of Chicago. What do you see happening today?
Well, the Guardians offense stinks, Dave, without Jose Ramirez. We're not saying anything that people don't already know. No Chase DeLauder in there now, too, just adds more stress on this pitching staff for Cleveland. Now, they had a lead late. Chicago ends up walking it off, and Cleveland kind of left holding the bag, if you will, and they're going to have to rely on another outstanding pitching performance from their starter tonight. It was Gavin Williams last night. Parker Messick's going to get the ball tonight against Sean Burke. Low total of 7, and I totally understand why. It's just a matter of feeling that if you get to 3 runs against the Guardians, you're probably going to win the way it's going right now. Wow. Travis Bazan has been awesome, by the way. That's a long shot ticket that I think has legs for yours truly. When he got called up, I popped him at 75-1 on Hard Rock for the American League Rookie of the Year. He's down to 8-1. Only Munetaka Murakami there with the White Sox and also Kevin McGonigal, who's odds on right now at almost a $2 favorite, are ahead of Bazana in the American League Rookie of the Year market. That at least the prices on DraftKings. Long and short of it, Dave, this has been a one-sided series for Cleveland. You go back to 2024, entering last night, the Guardians had won 15 of the last 17 against Chicago. The problem, Dave, it's a way different Southsider group that they're playing this year. And I think Will Venable's crew has been equal to the task. Anthony Kay was phenomenal on the mound. I see Sean Burke continuing what has been a dominant stretch here for the rotation in Chicago. All the money and all the bets are on Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if you get another short home dog opportunity to take the Sox tonight. I think that might end up being the play, but I could also see, you know, where this could be potentially lower scoring, even though a boatload of money and bets are on the over so far here tonight.
Braves and Padres, speaking of runs being at a premium, certainly that's what the case was last night. And same thing with Milwaukee in their game, too. But now in this contest here, and again, I know the Padres, not saying that they have to look at the wild card route here, but it seems unrealistic to run down the Dodgers. These are important games here. And even for the Braves, that if they're looking in the rear view and you start to see objects might be closer than they appear in Philadelphia, these games feel like they're a little bit more important here in late June.
Great call. And yes, 1-0, a little 2-unit winner for us on the Padres late night. We will take that. I also think we'll take more offense tonight. That's kind of what I see in this matchup. It will be J.R. Richie, the young phenom there for the Atlanta Braves. San Diego hasn't named a starter yet, but I think the total too low right now for where we could see a nice bounce back spot for both offenses. Usually you don't see Atlanta go back to back where it's lower scoring affairs. And if it is an opener scenario tonight, advantage Atlanta to try and get out a little bit early. So I think the play for me would be an over. Haven't gotten there to the window yet. Do want to see what kind of offense we're going to get lineup wise and eventually what San Diego will run out there from a starting standpoint. But I think we get offense there at Petco Park after a 1-0 very tidy win for the Friars last night.
Yeah, and after watching my Marlins now lose last night to Texas, it's like these other games now in the wild card race I start to look at very closely, thinking that it's impossible to run down the Dodgers. Obviously, in the NL West, it's going to be one spot you would think occupied by the Friars out there in San Diego.